Well, I think that we're all very ecstatic that the president of the most powerful country on the earth is coming to Ghana in the first place, and also indicating to us that he wants to address parliament and come with a major policy on Africa in Ghana. We do know that Ghana and the United States established diplomatic relations in 1957, following Ghana's independence from British colonial rule. Since then, relations between the two countries have been cordial and friendly, with the exception of brief periods in the 1970s and 1980s. We have witnessed the successive visitation by the immediate past American presidents in the persons of President Clinton and President Bush. When they came, they indicated to us their policy direction. President Bush, who last visited, touted the concept of transformational diplomacy as the method in his African policy. We were told that the approach entails enabling African countries to help themselves, establishing viable partnerships as opposed to the paternalism and using America's diplomatic power to help African government build their own nation. In specific and concrete terms, he told us of four main priorities which formed the focus of his policy. The first, we're told, was to support and promote democratic governance and political freedom across the continent. Second, we were told, was to expand economic growth and opportunity, particularly through welcome trade and private enterprise. And he also told us of his intent, or America's intent, to help fight diseases on the continent, especially the HIV, AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis. And the fourth strand, he informed, was to end all wars in Africa. Subsequent to that, we are most expectant of the visit of President Obama, and we want to know the policy direction of President Obama. We do know that beyond everything, he's one of our own, and the fact that he's coming to Ghana, the first country of his visit in Africa, about 6 months after his own coronation, is most significant. We do know that it's premised on Ghana's own achievements in the area of democratic governance. And that should urge us on to strive to attain higher levels in democratic governance and broadening our own horizon and frontiers in governance, good governance, and the democratic experiment that we have opted for to improve the lot of our masses. Ghana should be expectant, apart from his visiting us, with particular regard to what it is that we can get from the Americans to, by way of helping our broad masses lift themselves up from deprivation, illiteracy, disease, poverty, and the other ills or negatives of social life. We do know that they themselves may have their own interests, but I think that we should find congruence in what America wants and what we want. We are ecstatic. We are waiting to bestow and shower on President Obama and his family the proverbial Ghanaian hospitality.
With his choice or insistence in addressing the Ghanaian parliament, would parliament withstand the level of scrutiny that will be after he leaves Ghana?
I think that in African terms, in terms of the developing world, Ghana has not done badly at all. And yes, we do know that America has high standards. They started this experiment way back. But I think we have grown and we have achieved. And I guess by his visit, it will be a necessary encouragement to us to strive to even achieve greater heights. So we are not in competition with America. We cannot be in competition with America. But I believe that the visit would also help to push democracy all the more, considering the fact that he's choosing to come here because of what you have done in the area of democracy. And so that should be a massive boost to our own collective effort. That, yes, there are challenges, but with collective resolve, we can overcome.
Well, Honorable, let me ask you to put your minority glasses or prism on. How do you think Parliament has functioned so far in Ghana's democratic dispensation?
Well, so far, I think we are moving. In 1993, we had moved from a military dictatorship, and we expected course, that having entered constitutionalism, it has always going to be difficult for Parliament. Parliament was a bit at the periphery. But in particular, since 1997, I think we keep expanding the frontier. When we first entered Parliament, our numbers were 100 and 200, and the opposition constituted 67, just about one-third of the numerical strength of the entire Parliament. From that springboard, we bounced to attain supremacy, greater numbers in Parliament, and also be in government. 8 years on, we have lost. The NDC has come back. And I think that's the beauty of democracy. It's not been very, pretty in the opposition, and that is how it should be. But I think that if you compare Ghana's own system to that of other countries in West Africa and Africa in general, the Parliament of Ghana hasn't done badly at all. A parliament is as strong or as good as its committees make it. Ghana's parliament is growing. Today, our committees are growing stronger. Committees now have budgets of their own, and they determine their own programs, of course, to be agreed on by leadership of parliament. And the other thing is, the committees are better resourced, and we intend to make them proactive, other than where we met the committee systems, where committees could only attend to business, refer to them at plenary by the Speaker of Parliament. I think Parliament in that regard got a bit masculated. So we are trying to liberate Parliament. As I said, it doesn't come easy, but we are making considerable strides. Parliament itself has not been autonomous by way of the provision of finances. Only last year, as a collective, we were able to amend the Parliamentary Services Act to enable Parliament to have control over its own finances. And I think that is a feather in the cap of the effort to gain greater credibility. There are challenges still, but I think that we will make it.
What has been the working relationship with your fellow compatriots or your fellow colleagues from the other side of the aisle, the majority?
Well, I think that we have been cooperating, and when we thought that since 2001 we had been increasing cooperation, it looks like we are seeing some constriction of space. But I believe that toward the status quo and build on that rather than trying to let it appear that, oh, this is a winner-takes-all situation, and we are in the majority, speak everything. That attitude will not help anybody. And unfortunately, that is what we are beginning to see. We need to sit down with our counterparts in the majority, and I believe with goodwill on all sides, we should be able to overcome some of these hiccups that are evolving. I don't think that that's the best. But as I said, we have not found space and time to talk about these things. Perhaps it may become necessary for the leadership of the two divides to meet and try to resolve some of these things. But of the provision of resources to the various caucuses by way of provision of facilities to the caucuses, it does appear that some people are minded to appropriate either everything to themselves or the greater chunk to themselves. And some people in the majority think that they rather should be dictating to the minority what it is that they could do. We must remind them that the minority is certainly not an appendage of the majority. As I said, it's not gone to the level of acrimony. And we would, I guess, find space to iron these differences out, because Ghana needs it. This parliament needs it.